Episode 23. Conflict can take away our sense of direction and leave us overwhelmed. In this episode, we are going to learn the importance of following a conflict recipe that will help keep us steady on when conflict is trying to rock our world upside down. Chaos happens. Here we choose to lead chaos rather than be led by chaos. We are sharing tips, resources, networks, and interviews that help you validate your ability to lead chaos successfully and remain steady on. Are you ready to lead chaos? Let's do it. This is the Leading Chaos Podcast, and I am your host, Rhea Wincolor. Welcome to the show. You are so in the know for tuning into this particular episode because this is where we are rolling up our sleeves and getting a good sense of how we can use a conflict recipe, what I actually call the response protocol, for managing conflict and chaos, regardless of whether you are a professional intervener or you are just working on conflict within your close and intimate relationships. This ongoing series is where I've been reading out of my book called Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And right now, today, we should be on page 39, which is essentially chapter 3. And that is titled, Am I Safe? But as I was looking at this chapter, there's just so much in this chapter and so much behind-the-scenes work that I felt it would be a disservice if I didn't take this opportunity to really expound upon this concept and where it all came about. And I think it will help you get a better sense of conflict and not make it so scary. Because when it scares us, we are less likely to feel empowered to make and affect change. So we're going to take a little bit of the fear out of it. And what I want to do and share with you is how I came about with this recipe, because that will really inform you, I hope, on the background. So to give you that little bit of background to begin with, current listeners might remember that I was certified as an emergency medical technician, an EMT. And I have mentioned this before, where I saw that there was a similarity between medical emergencies and emotional emergencies. Think about a medical emergency that you might be involved in. In most cases, the first responder, who could be an EMT, a paramedic, a person, a kid with basic first aid, we are trained to have and follow a very clear and measured protocol for any given situation. Like a classic situation would be, you get a cut on your finger. Well, it's a universal knowledge that if you get a cut on your finger, the first thing you would do is to apply pressure and elevate. And that elevation would be a little bit, you know, higher than your heart to slow down the bleeding. Now, isn't that, that's a beautiful thing that everybody, no matter who you are, what language you speak, we all know that basic thing, cut on your finger, apply pressure, and elevate. I wish the same thing could be true with conflict. I mean, when a person is having a psychotic episode in the middle of a department store or on a street anywhere in the world or in a family home, what happens? People run the other way. If it was a medical emergency, we feel empowered and ready, and we run right in and we want to help. You know, I'm a first aider. Can I help? But when it's emotional, it feels scary because, well, we don't know what that set protocol is. It isn't clear. And yet, it is. It's very clear. See, if emergency responders in the medical and also the police department and fire departments, if they have a very clear protocol to follow, there's no reason why those of us who want to deal with conflict, no reason why we can't have our own recipe or protocol. Now, you hear me say protocol quite a bit because that's the terminology that I use in the response training program's curriculum. And we call this term response protocol. So you will hear me say this quite a bit. And I don't want to make it sterile because there is a lot of leeway on it. And there's a lot of love behind it too. But essentially, a protocol is something that gives you very measured steps to take. Now, what is the similarity that we see in that emotional first aid model that we could pull in from the medical model? The two use the same principles, the same recipe, in that when there is an episode, medical or emotional, the first thing you do is stabilize. And that for the medical emergency is stabilizing the patient's medical needs. For emotional, you are stabilizing and basically creating safety. The next step you would do is to transport. And that another word for the emotional would emotional emergency would be to move away from the situation. So we could use those two steps. One is stabilize and transport. Just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Any kind of given conflict, all I need to do is stabilize. The danger zone comes in when we think we need to become diagnostic. And another way to look at that is that we try to create a lot of resolution before we've really stabilized the situation. And that's where we get all the confusion in the emotional emergency. We try to do too much. But the truth is, during a medical emergency, you try to do too much and you're going to get into trouble. You can't play doctor when you're out in the field. And you shouldn't play therapist when you're involved in a conflict. I mean, even a therapist who might be doing a one-on-one therapy session, if that person that they're discussing the person's history with, if that person gets really, really excited or maybe even volatile, that therapist should be stepping back for a moment and working to stabilize that scene before they go on. Because when a person is upset and angry, they're not going to be able to hear too much. Just hold that thought for a moment. I want to really make clear that this approach, this recipe, is not reinventing the wheel. It's pulling on from what every other first responder, and when I use the term first responder, I'm talking about a global practice of so many people, from parents to partners to medical workers to police officers to military. Everybody can be using that same approach to stabilize and transport. And remember that you don't have to do it all, which means you don't have to solve it at that moment, especially with conflict. You know, it takes a while. I mean, shoot, if you had a broken leg, it's going to take a while to heal. What makes you think that you could solve a conflict in, you know, 1, 2, 3 seconds? It just doesn't work that way. I mean, there's very few situations where a conflict will end immediately. And the only time I could think about it is like with kids, because they are so fluid in so many ways where they're making some trouble and the authority person can come by, typically the parent can come by and say, hey, knock it off. And the kids might, you know, posture a little bit, but knock it off. But for most of us, it takes us a while to heal. And that healing in terms of conflict means a while before we could settle down, regain our sense of self-control, and be able to work on the conflict. So it is an absolutely beautiful thing. You have emotional first aid and a medical first aid coming together and using the same approach. No need to make it bigger than it needs to be. And that's the recipe that I was talking about. That's a conflict recipe. Our primary goal is to stabilize and transport. If this simplicity of looking at a conflict recipe as something as simple as stabilizing and transporting resonates with you, then you are on the right track and we are speaking the same language. If you're looking for something that's bigger and broader and has lots of bells and whistles, then I'm not even sure this podcast is going to meet your needs, because I can't go there anymore. I want to keep it really simple, both for myself and for those that I am trying to assist. Subsequent podcast episodes and next week, I'll be talking more about Am I Safe and how that gets incorporated in and some of the background on the model's development and what I saw as key elements that really were obstacles for success. So what we're doing here is building upon our skills, and that's the joy of podcasting and sharing that with you. The other joy that I would like to share with you is my book, which is called Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management. And if you want to read along with me, a great way to do that is to have the book right in front of you and use it as you kind of dog ear it here and there and make little marks. A well-read book is one that's kind of all kind of modeled up a little bit and marked up. If you'd like to get a copy, there will be a link on the podcast, leadingchaospodcast.com website. And the book is in both English and Dutch in hard copy and ebook form. And you could go right there and find it, or you could just Google Leading Chaos, An Essential Guide to Conflict Management, or my name, Rhea Windcaller. And for those in the know, my full name is actually Alexandria. And I go by either name, but for simplicity, I bring it down to Rhea, and that was a nickname that my folks gave me at a very early age. So that would be my full name on the book. And if you're also interested in getting some info on the curriculum, I'm talking about the response protocol, and you work in the field of conflict management or crisis intervention, there is, again, a link at the show notes, and there is a page called Curriculum on the Leading Chaos Podcast website. Or you could just go directly to the response training programs. That is response trainings, it's plural, with an S, .com. Or shoot me a note. Send me an email, Rhea@leadingchaospodcast.com. I always really enjoy hearing from people, and I would welcome any kind of question that you have. If I could help somebody just solve a little bit of a mystery of a conflict and find and gain safety, that is such a joy for me. Certainly, we are working all together to lead chaos and make our world safer. So I'll look forward to you next week as we continue to build upon this conflict recipe and start filling in the pieces and continue to roll up our sleeves and create for you a very streamlined, simple focus and approach to managing conflict. I look forward to that. And geez, look at that. I pressed the little...
I'm sorry.
There's Siri talking to me in the background. How funny is that? I put my elbow on my phone. Okay, well, no need to be sorry. I will talk to you next week. Let's take this show out with a little bit of background music and a reminder that you do have the skills to lead chaos successfully, and we need only to continue to build upon that foundation. And that's what we'll be following up with next week and in subsequent podcasts. This is Rhea Windcaller signing off for now. As always, be kind, be safe, and take care of each other. Ciao for now.